Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, The Robe of Righteousness, already in progress.
I asked the Lord to take that wire brush of the Holy Spirit and go in there and clean my heart like that, because that wire brush and that soap cleaned that hand up. I figured a wire brush and the Holy Ghost would really take that nonsense out of my heart. And it did. And of course, after that, my profanity went away. I don't have that problem. In fact, I remember one day I was working on an electrical box with some guys out at the airport, and we was putting on installing some air conditioners, and I got a big long screwdriver way down in this box tightening this screw. And all of a sudden, I turn it, and when I do, the screwdriver slips off the screw, and it goes through a hole on the backside, and I just run my hand in that box, and it just sheared that thumb, just ripped it open. Blood went everywhere. I'm sitting there like this. One of the guys comes up and said, "Well, go ahead and say it." I said, "Oh, Jesus." And he said, "That's not what I expected you to say." But guess what? After I said, "Oh, Jesus," guess what happened to the bleeding? It stopped. That's exactly right. So when I finally called on the name of Jesus, out of the love of my heart, the Lord fixed my thumb. And I didn't even have to have no stitches in that. I just put a Band-Aid around it and went back to work. The next day, it was okay. It's amazing what happens when you call on God, when you do it His way. But when I used to think I could just take and say, "By His stripes you were healed," it ought to work. But it didn't. And He says, you got to start at verse 21. Well, He said, Jesus left us an example that we should follow. And this is the example. Jesus did no sin. So if Jesus did no sin, what should your and my goal be for each day? No sin. That's right. Now, there's going to be times as human beings, as flesh and blood, we're going to mess up, right? This is what He said. He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Now, that's pretty tough, you know, to not say anything bad about anybody, you know, especially when they do something really rotten to you. You know, have you ever had to... You know what usually we do? We don't do that. We just go ahead and let it out, you know, and say what we want to say. And then we defile them and ourselves. And we create all kinds of problems. We open the door to the enemy, and then sickness and disease starts eating away at us and somebody else. Whereas if we had have taken this example that Jesus said, and we had no sin in our life, we had no guile in our mouth, well, then let's see what else He said. He's not through. There's one more verse down there. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again? But when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. I will have to say that my wife has gotten a tremendous revelation on this verse just recently. You know, it seems like every time somebody offends her, and you know, I can remember years ago before she even knew this verse, when we were over in Dallas, used to have our church over there for several years. And somebody wrote a very bad letter and gave to me one day about they didn't like Cheryl singing. Not at all. That's okay. You know, you have the right to tell me if you don't like my wife singing, that's okay. Or if you won't like it, that's okay too. Well, you know, we're just trying to please God. So anyway, I didn't tell her about it. I let her sing and do everything with everybody. And that day when we started home, I said, "Honey," I said, "do you think you're strong enough spiritually that if I were to let you read a letter that somebody wrote about your singing that you wouldn't get offended?" And she said, "Oh, was it good?" I said, "No, not quite." And she said, "It wasn't?" And I said, well, that automatically put her on the defensive, you know, her claws are sticking out like that, you know, like any kid, you know. I said, "Do you think you agree to it without being offended?" I said, "Because the Lord told us we're not supposed to hold a grudge against nobody." So she said, "I can do it." I said, "Okay." So I handed her the letter. She read one line and went, like this, and I grabbed it out of her hand. I said, "You said you could read it without being offended." And she said, "My goodness, did you see what they said about me?" I said, "Yes, I did. That's why I asked you if you could do this." So she cooled off a little while, and we drove along there a few miles, and I said, "Now, are you ready to read it?" She said, "Yes, I think I can do it now." I handed it to her. She got about three lines down before she drew up again. And so we went through this two or three times before she finally got through the letter. And she didn't realize. She said, "I can't believe those people said that about me." I said, "Well, honey, that's one thing you got to learn. As a pastor's wife, you know, there's going to be times that people's going to say something. They don't like you for just one reason or another." But I said, "The Lord told us in His word, it is impossible, but offenses will come." But I said, "He says, don't receive them. Because if you go into offense with people, it'll cut off your power with him. And I said, we don't want our power cut off with him, do we? And she said, absolutely not. I said, so just repent. And I said, God will work this all out. Now, back in this day, that day, Cheryl didn't know this scripture. But now she knows this scripture. So when somebody offends her, which we're not past that yet. I mean, you know, somebody, she'll call somebody or somebody will call her, or somebody get mad at somebody and they'll call the pastor's wife and chew her out from the top of her head to the bottom of her toes, you know, and they'll happen very much, but once in a great while it does. But now then, you know what happens when somebody gets mad at her like that? She just says, Lord, they're your problem, not mine. That was good enough for Jesus. It ought to be good enough for you and me, right? It says here, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't say anything back that he suffered. He threatened them not. He didn't do anything. He just said, Lord, he said, Father, they're your problem. You take care of them. And Cheryl, she did that the other day, and immediately just a load was taken off her. And she, right in my presence, she became a totally different woman. You know, it's just amazing what happens when you say, here, Lord, they're your problem, not me. Just like my foul words. I couldn't handle it on my own. But whenever I realized that I can't do it, but I did know enough, or at least the Holy Spirit guided me and directed me to do that, although I didn't realize what I was doing. But when I asked the Lord to clean my heart out, he did. And he took away everything that was bad. Now, when you find out in life, you can't do nothing. Just like Jesus himself said, without the Father, I can do nothing. And you ain't no different. So why do we try to do it? Why do we say, I will do this, Lord? You know, we think we can, but we cannot. But anyway, he says there that if we will do it exactly like Jesus said, and this is the example that he left us, no sin, no guile, and when anybody offends you, you just turn them over to the Father in Jesus' name. And then that verse 24, let's look at verse 24 again. Now it says, who his own self, Jesus, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins. Now then, if Jesus bore your sins on the cross, on the tree, technically speaking, the scripture says you and I are dead to sins. Is that right? So when we walk in love, if we walk in love all the time and do everything the Lord told us in verse 21 through 24 here, when we do what he says, then he says, if you've done all these things, if you realize he died for your sins and paid the price for your sins, if he's already taken care of it, then are you going to sin? No, not if you realize he's already done it. He's already bore your sin. Why not just let him have it and not you have to worry about it? And so when you do that, then after you've done all those things, what does the last line say? By what? By his stripes, you are healed. Let's go to Romans 10, 8 and 9. Romans 10, 8 and 9. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now then, I'd heard that in the Baptist church all my life. All my life I heard that. In fact, that's how I got saved. And if you got saved, you done the same thing. There is no other way anybody on this earth can be saved other than accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, confessing him with your mouth and believing with your heart that the Father raised him from the dead. Is that the only way, brother? There ain't but one Savior, is there?
That's true.
How do you really know you're born again? Because it's written in the book, right?
That's right.
If you really don't know that, the enemy come by and say, you know, an old worthless critter like you. You know God ain't going to save an old worthless critter like you. And if you're not in this book very much, you get to thinking, maybe I'm not.
That's right.
You know, and if you're not careful, he'll steal your salvation away from you. Well, maybe I'm not saved. But if you got that in your heart, and you know that's written in the book, and you know that if you confess that with your mouth, and you believe it with your heart, it's a guarantee you're born again and you're saved. Then ain't no devil of hell going to be able to take that away from you, right, brother?
Amen.
Yeah, so when the rest of us, somebody says, are you saved? You know what a lot of people will tell me? Well, I hope so. Maybe so. I think so. Why? Well, I don't know. I go to church on Christmas and Easter. But you know, if you're really a Spirit-filled Christian and you really know the Word of God, and I quote those two verses to you and you say, yes, I've done that. I know I'm saved. There ain't no devil of hell going to steal that from you, is there? No, no. But I would be willing to believe that most of you people in this building would be willing to stand there with me and say, I am born again, because Romans 10, 8 and 9 says, if I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart, I am saved. So therefore, case closed, I'm saved. Amen. There ain't no argument about it. Somebody said, but you know, how can you be sure? Maybe he's not the only God. I mean, there's some people say, you know, Jesus is not really God. You know, Allah is the only God. I mean, but didn't we hear that? Sure, people are convinced all the time, and they run into these things all the time. You know, I would love to lead Muslims to Christ. They need to come to know Jesus just like I did. But if they don't know Jesus, they're not saved. But I'm going to make sure that I know what I believe, and that I know that I don't care who says it. I don't care if it's a preacher. I don't care if it's a president or the ex-president or whatever, the United States of America. If I hear somebody say, everybody's going to heaven and there's more than one way to God, there's lots of roads, let me tell you, ain't none of that true. And I'm telling you, I'm going to stand that there is one God, one Savior. His name's Jesus Christ, and there ain't no way to heaven but through Him. Now then, if you don't know that, you can be led astray. You can be led astray. When you hear preachers make statements like I said, by His stripes you were healed. Now, if some people hear me say that, say, well, now, you know, by His stripes you were healed. Do you really believe that? Yes, I do. But we found out a few minutes ago that I can't say by His stripes I am healed without meeting all of the criteria from verse 21 through 24, right? If I get a hold of this, that this says that if I'll confess with my mouth that I believe that He raised Him from the dead, thou shall be saved.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled The Robe of Righteousness, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.